Now, this is a ordination service, but there's two messages today, and hopefully Don will leave me time to do mine. But I seem to recall recently, right, you were supposed to do a certain amount of time, and you went past the time, and it was just your introduction. Is that right? Is that rumor true? So anyway, my good friend Don Parker is going to come, and he's going to make a challenge to the church. Because, you know, when you ordain a person, a man, to the office, well, there's a responsibility with the church as well that goes along with that. So Brother Don's going to come and challenge the church, and then I'm going to deliver a challenge to Ramon as well. But keep in mind that we are all the church, and we are all, in a sense, ordained. You know, ordained just means purposed, and you have a purpose, and so all of us are about fulfilling God's purpose in our lives, or at least we should be. So, Don, will you come up and share?
Good morning. It is an honor to be with you again, and I want to kind of elaborate a little bit on what Pastor Mike has spoke in terms of what ordination is. You're in a unique situation. Most of the time you have an ordination service, and it's a set-apart service so sister churches can share into it. When a pastor is ordained, it is upon the authority of the local church under the leadership of their pastor or pastors. However, an ordination is also recognized by the state. And there are certain issues that prevail when a person is ordained that a regular minister doesn't have, is not recognized. For example, going to the hospital, you can be a minister and go minister to anyone. We're all ministers. Some are set aside ministers, and that ordination, as Mike was talking about, is purposeful. It's a setting aside for the purposes that the church has outlined, and that's what this ordination is. But the other part is it's a recognition by your sister churches, not only in our High Desert Baptist Association, but across our state and nation. And so when a pastor is ordained, typically, a church family will call a council, and they do it in many different ways. But most churches will call a group of pastors from sister churches to talk with the prospective pastor. And what do they talk about? Predominantly, they're interested in discerning the person's character and their ability to teach. There's a unique relationship between pastor and deacon. And the only thing that's different between the two is that the pastor's called to teach. Deacons aren't. Deacons are called to serve. And now that doesn't mean a pastor doesn't serve. It's not what we're speaking to. But in his ministry, in his role, in his assignment, in his calling, he must be able to teach. That means he needs to know something. And he needs to have a sure foundation. And so when pastors and ordained ministers come and speak with a person, they are ascertaining, is this person foundationally secure in the faith? Does he honor the Word of God? And upon that evaluation, and upon the evaluation of his character based upon his testimony and witnesses, they affirm or they bring back a recommendation to the local church family. And then the local church family comes and affirms that, again, under the leadership of the church. Now, if you notice, it's always about the church. The church is the highest ecclesiastical authority in the land when it comes to the things of the Lord. The state doesn't dictate, nor does the director of the High Desert Baptist Association or the executive director of the California Southern Baptist Convention or the president of the Southern Baptist Convention dictate anything to the local church. The local church stands on its own. However, we work together, especially as we are outlining in terms of the proclamation of the gospel and the mission that God has given us. We have a purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. Our mission is to be disciple makers. And then as a church, being disciple makers, we are then empowered to be his witnesses as ministers of a gospel. And it's fascinating to me. The Lord did not distinguish between men and women when it comes to ministers. We're all ministers. But when it comes to the role, the position, the calling of pastors, then it is assigned to a particular group of people in the church. Now I want to just, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to take a quick study, because a lot of what I want to say this morning with regard to the church family is the crucial issue of talking to the Lord of prayer. And I want to spring from this particular passage of Scripture and then give you three things for the church to consider. A threefold charge. And I'm going to try to speak slow so that some of our Spanish speakers, I hope you all get enough English, but if you don't, I want to speak a little more slow than I normally would so that you can grasp what I'm saying. But in my translation of the Bible, if you have your Bibles, look with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 4. And then I want to just expound just a little bit to lay the foundation for the charge that I'll bring to you as a church family as you stand alongside Pastor Ramon in the work that he's called to do as part of this church family, reaching especially the Hispanics people, Hispanic Spanish-speaking people especially, but reaching all people. Red or yellow, black or white, it doesn't make any difference in his sight. And Pastor Ramon, the one thing that I will very clearly remind you, and church family, we're called to reach all people. It's not just people that looks like us. It's not just people who think like us. It's not Democrat. It's not Republican. It's not Green Party or whatever kind of party is. We're in the Christian Party. And being in the Christian Party, we're called to reach all people. And our authority is God's Word, and we live and breathe God's Word. We don't live all these other things. These are all other things that we work out. But we're called as a people of God to do those things. And so you're going to come alongside him and do that. But a church family that's not talking to the Lord has a real problem. And that's why I want to read this passage of Scripture. In this passage, again, it says, therefore, which we don't have time, but wherever you see therefore, you'll always ask, what is therefore, therefore? Because there's something that he's already said that's bringing it into what he's now going to say. And it says, therefore, I exhort, and I'm going to come back to this. First of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all men. And in that sense, it's talking about all people. For kings, and for all who are in authority. Now, a pastor is called to be in a position of authority, not authority over your house, not authority over the government, but one who's called to lead the church. And there's a passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 that speaks very clearly to this. The pastor's called to rule the church, and we're to be in submission to that. And you say, well, what does the word rule mean? It means rule. And he rules when it comes to the leadership of the church and the proclamation of the gospel and the vision of what God has called the church to do. And he leads in that capacity. Or the pastors lead. It's fascinating to me as you look at the Scriptures, you find that it rarely ever speaks to the elder. It always speaks to the elders of the church. And the word elder is exactly the same, or it's speaking to a different part of the work of what we call the pastor, the shepherd, the bishop. Sometimes you'll hear some of our church family, they'll call their pastor the bishop. And he's one who's overseeing some kind of work when he's called the bishop. And so all of these things come into the assignment that God's called this man to be. All who are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. So I'm leading in my relationship to the Lord. I'm receiving. I do these things. I pray for one another. I lift my pastor. As a result, so then I live a life of peace. That's peace in the midst of the adversities that you're going to experience. That's what it's talking about. Then it says, for this is a good and for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, one giving himself as a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher, a proclaimer, and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ, not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And it's fascinating. There's so much here that the Apostle Paul is writing when you take an explanation or an exposition, an understanding of what we have here. And he's called to teach. He's called to equip a certain group of people. He's assigned to a certain group of people. Paul wasn't assigned to everybody. And church family, you have pastors now. You have Pastor Mike, you have Pastor Ramon, and you're to be submissive to their leadership and the assignment that God has given in this church family. And so we have that. Now I want to take a look. When we pray, we look at these words sometimes and we say, well, that's prayer. If we take the word supplications, well, that is prayer. And then it says, but notice it says, Paul says supplications, then he says prayers. Well, he's not just stuttering. He's using certain concise words because God, through the Spirit of God, is leading him to focus in on understanding what it is we do when we commonly call the word prayer. Supplications. Okay, now, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Now, I want to give you a little picture of these things. First of all, he says, I exhort. And I exhort you to do these things. Church family, you're called to pray for those who are in leadership. You're called to come alongside them. The word exhort means to come alongside and stand with you. And so they're standing, you come alongside and stand with them in the work that they are called to do. That's the exhortation. I'm coming alongside, and then I do it in a certain way. Now let me paint the picture for you. When I offer supplication, when I offer supplicants to the Lord, and for most of us, that's a big word. We don't even get it. If I was 12 years old and you say, what's that? Supplicant. I have no idea what that word means. And so what does it mean? It means to be personally involved in a person's life. So I'm praying for a person of which I offer supplication. That means I have been personally involved in his life. And I have something to say about those things that are personally involved because of our relationship with them. So when you are praying for your pastor, it is extremely difficult to pray for him when you're not personally involved in his life. You got to find out, how then do I pray for him? How then do I offer up prayers? How do I come alongside him so that I can have this involvement? Because when you're involved in a person's life, it changes everything in the way that you speak and move and have your being and how you pray for him, how you lift him up. So I provide supplication when I'm praying. I'm totally involved in his life. That's what it's talking about. And then it says prayer. He says prayers. Well, he starts a supplication and prayers. Well, what's it talking about? As I move and have my being, I'm drawing. We talk about the word in the scriptures. It says pray always, praise without ceasing. Most of you who are followers of Christ have heard that phrase. Well, what it's talking about, as things come to your mind, then you talk to the Lord about it. You're driving down the freeway with your eyes open and something comes to your mind. You say, Lord, I was just thinking of Pastor Ramon. And you know what? I heard a sermon this past week and he was talking about this. Help him to be able to do what he was talking about as he bore testimony of ministering in the community and reaching people for Christ. And as I stand alongside him, Father, help me to be involved and support him so that he can do that. So I see that he's called for the church family to build a new ministry, to build a building. I'm going to come alongside and make sure that that occurs as he reaches out and seeks to have what he does. So I exhort, I offer supplications, I have ongoing conversation with my Lord. That's what, when I'm praying, I'm just talking to God and it's not necessarily organized. This comes to my mind. That comes to my mind. He comes to my mind here. I'm going to talk to the Lord about him. And there I move forward. And then it talks about intercessions in this passage of Scripture. And that's where the pastor is struggling. One of the things that you need to know, church, is that preaching the Word of God is difficult. It's difficult because the pastor is involved in the life of his people and the way that the people receive the Word of God. It's difficult because he's preaching the truth. And if the shoe fits, then you wear it. But when it doesn't, it hurts people. It puts them under conviction, especially church family. And I'm going to give a little illustration of that in a few minutes. But there's difficulty. There's hardship. He's going through anguish. And I don't even know what he's going through. I don't know what's going on in his family. Because of the ministry role that I have and throughout our association, our sister churches, just the 70 churches or so that I have the privilege of ministering to, I minister to pastors. And Sandy ministers to the pastor's wife. You hear that? You're going to minister to pastor's wife. The problem being is these guys put their pants on the same way as I do, and the ladies do the same thing. And they struggle. They have no one to talk to. And they're hurting. And the sorrows that they see, the things that they see in their church family grieves them. And it hurts. But they have personal anxieties as well. And I see that. I see that amongst our church family. Church family, you need to be knowing that so that when your pastor's going through hardships and you look at him and he looks strung out and he says he's okay, you say, well, hold on a second. Now, he may not be able to share with you what the pain is that he's going through because of those he ministers to so that he can build them up. He may not be able to do that. But most of us can read body language. Most of us can see when a person's tired. And when they say they are okay, it's like the sun and the moon, the stars, house. Well, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, isn't it? And you go, no, it's not. The wind's blowing. There's a sandstorm. It's not a beautiful day. And the pastor will say, well, I'm doing just fine. And he's not. And what it's calling you to do is to come along and intercede for him. Intercede for one another so that in the pains and the anxieties and the terrible things that they might be going through. It's not all the time, but it goes. Now, there's not a person here that doesn't have troubles and heartaches and sorrows and so on and so forth. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Okay, shake your head. So if you hurt, can you think that your pastor's not going to hurt? And then multiply that by family upon family upon family that he's called to oversee in a church family. And he knows stuff. A distressing thing for me as a pastor was when I'd know that these people in the church family, they'd get up and bellyache about how the church was going, and they didn't give a cotton picking penny to the church. And I knew it. And I would never distinguish between that person who would mouth off about what the pastor was doing or what the church was doing and someone who was the rich person and gave exceedingly abundantly of beyond anything that you could dream, or the one who sacrificially gave to the work of the church. Never distinguish that. But it would trouble you. That's what you're called to do. Then the last thing. In the sea of adversity and all these things, all these ways that you're called to pray for your pastor, you're called to give thanks. And the word give thanks, by the way, when we studied some time ago, it's been 3-4 years ago, we did a little study in the church family, and I talked about the word give. And when you do a etymological study, when you study the word give, you find that it roots back to the word sacrifice. I cannot give if I have not sacrificed. It's not a gift. You know, so think about that when you're giving your pastor something recycled gift at Christmas. It's not a gift. You know, it's just a recycle. Be honest with him. Say, here's a $50 gift card. I don't really need it, you know, but it's not a gift. Somebody else gave it to me. That's not a sacrifice. Then go the next measure and say, Pastor, now I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a couple $300 at Christmas because I know that you deserve, you're worthy of what God does. You take care of him. You're called to take care of your pastor. You're called to make sure that you can do that so that he can do the work that God's called him to do. Pastor Ramon, there's going to come a day you're going to be doing God's work. And your church family is going to continue to grow. And this Hispanic work is going to continue to grow. And you're going to be so busy that the church family says, hey, we got enough to take care of you all the time. You quit that job and you come work with us all the time. That's what he's going to call you to do. That's what this church family is going to call you to do. And that's how every pastor works those things out. This is what this passage of Scripture is talking about. Now, I laid the foundation. You can see the value and the importance of praying and lifting up your pastor so that he can be strengthened and he has all these kinds of things that we work on. Now, I want to give you a basic charge. You're calling Pastor Ramon to be a part of this church family as a pastor teacher. He's a pastor, and I don't have time to expound. Maybe Pastor Mike's going to do this. As a pastor, he's a shepherd. And think of the shepherd and the sheep. And everything that you understand about shepherd and sheep, he's called to be shepherd of the sheep. He's not the sheep in that passage. He's the shepherd. And he's to give of himself. So he's the pastor, then the teacher. What is a teacher? A teacher is one who helps you walk where the shoe leather meets the pavement. So he takes the Word of God and he brings it to life and he says, here's how you live it. Here's what you do. And so he's your pastor teacher. Now, let me just share these things. Otherwise, I'll get going and I know, I got to watch this. You get so full. I know what Pastor Mike is. I listen to some of his sermons on Facebook, okay, he's got some stuff going there. He's walking and rowing. It's amazing. It's wonderful when you have a pastor who opens up the Word of God. Pastor Ramon, the church is calling you to open up the Word of God. You eat the Bible, for its words are true and reliable. You dig into it. You do everything you possibly can to do that. The church is expecting you to do that so that you can help them walk where the shoe leather meets the pavement. But here it is. I want you to remind you. Here's some things, church, I want you to remember. Number one, he's not your hireling who will run at the first sign of danger. He's in the ministry. And you've heard me say this. He's not your cowboy. He's your shepherd. He doesn't drive the herd. He uses a rod to chase the evil away. The wolves. The rods just prod the sheep so they'll go on the right direction. But he's not your hireling. He is your pastor teacher. He's not your doormat for you to wipe your feet on. Neither is he your main course or your pot roast for Sunday lunch after church. Do you get that? He's been called by God and recognized by you, the congregation, to be your under-shepherd. Because there's only one shepherd, of which he's the under-shepherd. And all the directions come from the head to the body, never from the body to the head. And as those who called, as there's only one Lord. And that under-shepherd's to be submissive to him and teach what he taught so that we can have what God is coming. So then, what's your responsibilities? I believe you have a threefold responsibility. The first one I expounded upon, and that is to be a people of prayer. Paul, the apostle, can you get this? Can you understand this? The Apostle Paul, who performed miracles, who spoke in some 27 different languages at least, when he went from town to town to community, he was fluent in what God gave him as he gifted him to do those things. And he was that kind of person, and he says, pray for us. Pray for us. And remember, when we talk about prayer, it's whenever he comes to mind, then you address it. Driving down the road, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. How many times you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody comes to your mind? Pray for them. Pray for your pastor in like manner. So first, the most important task of any church family regarding your pastor is to be in prayer for him. Lifting him up. Thinking about him. Whatever it is, and where you see his weaknesses, you pray for him in that so that he'll be made stronger. Where he'll have healing where he's weak. You pray for his strength so that he uses them appropriately. So pray for him. Now, there's three ways that I want to, and we've been, I've been teaching this to the church families that I've been going, and I've learned this great lesson, the most powerful lesson that I've ever learned. Pastor Ramon, this is for you. Church family, this is for you. Pray for your family. And pray, first of all, for his provision. I already mentioned it. Make sure that he's taken care of, that he's provided so he doesn't have to worry about feeding his family, taking care of his needs, so that he can be about the ministry of the Word, that is the Gospel, and the Word of God, and in prayer himself. Major assignment. dig into the Word of God, preach the Word, teach the Word. And as he does that, he's talking to the Lord about his church family so that he knows how to teach the Word and preach the Word appropriately. So number one, pray for the provision. It's a P. Remember this, P for provision. I want to pray for people. I want to make sure that they're provided for properly. Secondly, I want to pray for his wife and that he will be protected. Who's he going to be protected from? From his own self? And from the adversary? Surely the Scripture teaches, you know, if you're being attacked, think how much more he's going to be attacked. And he will be. You've seen how many pastors over the years, if you've been around and you've ever listened to TV, how many of the pastors who've got themselves in trouble. And by the way, when they get in trouble, you do everything you can to restore trust and you make sure that you forgive them. And forgiving them means to treat them with all the dignity and worth that they deserve as a child of the King. That's what forgiveness is. And then you help them reestablish trust, just like we do with each other. So you pray for that his wife. You pray that they'll be protected, especially from the adversary. And any selfish or evil or wrong intentions that he might have. You know, it's fascinating. In the book of Corinthians, it says the problem of a pastor, and I'm saying it in generally, is that he's got a big head. The problem of a pastor is he needs encouragement. You know, they have a tendency to dote on themselves. Say, look how special I am. Hello, for example, I'm Dr. Don. You know, big whoopee-doo. You see, you know, I'm the pastor. You listen to me. Church family, lift him up so that he will be humbled. You see, the calling of a pastor is a humbling calling. It's a service calling. Church family, keep that in mind. So pray for his protection. Pray for a right and willing heart. Pray that he'll be drawn closer to the Lord. And he needs to be doing that, and he will do that if you pray that he will stay in the Word and you allow him to stay in the Word. And that means, church family, you do things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that, and I mentioned this already, that there's only but one head, but many members in the body. And the hands do hand things. The pastor's not the hand. He's not the feet. He's not the heart. All of these members come together to make what the body does. And he's called with a special calling. You could call him the mouthpiece of what the whole body collectively does. That's what we're called to do. So call him in prayer so that he will be made close. Second, be patient with him. He'll be serving with you. And by the way, the secret's out. You're flawed too. Did you get that? Secret's out. You're flawed too. You know, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And by the way, that's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. And it's a singular manifestation. It's not plural. And so if you're praying that your pastor will be more loving, then he'll be more patient. He'll be more kind. He'll be more self-controlled. That's what you're praying for. Be patient with him. He's growing. He'll continue to grow. And if you're patient with him, he can be transparent with you. And he can share, you know, this past week I really blew it. And you'll receive it. And you'll say, yeah, that was me too. Well, I'm so thankful that my pastor blows it sometimes and he's willing to tell us how he blew it so that he can work through it and we can work through our own problems as well. Isn't that refreshing? That's what you're called to do, church family. The third thing is understand who you're called to be. Who are you called to be, church family? You're called to be those who are the disciple makers. You're called to be the church, a group of baptized believers under discipline, under the leadership of your pastor, for the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission. And what all that means. And all that, if you remember this, you pray for your pastor that he'll love the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, and all of his mind, and all of his strength. And the second thing, that he'll love you like he loves his Lord. And if he's not loving you like he loves his Lord, there's a problem. And if he's not loving the Lord like he ought to love the Lord, he won't be loving you. And remember, love is when I sacrificially meet the needs of another without expecting anything in return in a selfish manner. And so he gives of himself. You give of yourselves to him. You will build him up and he will be an incredible force for this community. So I charge you, church family. I call you to pray for him. Be patient with him. and serve as his ministers with him under our Lord. And later, Pastor Mike's going to call you to a point of decision, a point of affirmation, a point of recognition. Church family, I charge you.
Thank you, Don. Don talked about charging the church. Pastor Ramon, I'm going to talk to you. But really, a lot of these things, it's really for all of us. But it needs to be found within a pastor in order for that person to take that position. I'm going to start off by reading a passage. Psalm 119, 41 through 48. Let your faithful love come to me, Lord, your salvation as you promised. Then I can answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take the word of truth from my mouth, for I hope in your judgments. I will always obey your instruction forever and ever. I will walk freely in an open place because I seek your precepts. I will speak of your decrees before kings and not be ashamed. I delight in your commands, which I love. I will lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and will meditate on your statutes. And if you do that as a pastor, if you do that as a person, God will do something with you. And being a pastor, it's a great calling, but with the call, it does come with responsibilities. Responsibilities we need to be aware of, things that we need to pay attention to in order that we would be effectively used by God. You know, being used usually has a bad connotation. We say, oh, he used me or she used me. And it's a negative thing. But you know, when you're used by God, it feels really good. Say, wow, God used me to accomplish whatever. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be used of by God. Take the word pastor, and I made it into an acrostic. It just simply means P stands for something, A stands for something, S-T-O-R. P, priorities. What are your priorities? As a pastor, you have to have priorities or you'll get overwhelmed. And you can be out of balance. And that gives the adversary a place to attack and defeat you. So I have some priorities in order. Your faith. God has always got to be number one. And should that not be true for all of us? God is number one. He's our priority. But second is your family. Don't neglect your family. God has not called you to neglect your family. He's called you to pastor a church. But in doing so, it does not negate the other responsibilities that you have. Your faith, your family comes next. Then the fellowship, the body, the church. Because if you don't have your faith in order and you don't have your family in order, you don't rightfully have a place to be. You should not be shepherding. That doesn't mean you're perfect, obviously. But you should be actively moving in the right direction in all those areas. Then your finances. Then your friends. And then if you got time, there's football and fishing. You know, just to keep with the F, you know. Of course, it could be soccer for you, but which is football, right? That's... But be careful to keep your priorities in order and not allow one area to dominate and cause you to fall in another. You know, I just put in a week here, as most of you have. And now I'm going to take my wife and get out of Dodge for a while. You know? And I do that on purpose. I mean, you have to maintain. And it's you're a priority. You know, my flock, priority for me as well. But everything has to be in balance. If I burn out over here, what good am I going to be to you? And so you have to keep these things in balance. Priorities, Pete. A, available and accountable. As a pastor, you need to be available and accountable. Are you available to God for Him to use you? Are you available to the ones you're ministering to? You need to be. But you also have to realize you are accountable to God for what you are doing, and you are also accountable to the ones you're ministering to. And that's another balancing act as well. But available and accountable. And obviously it doesn't mean you're around every second of every day. Everybody understands that. But, you know, when someone calls me, as quick as I can, I call them back. I try to be available. Somebody comes up to me, and they say, "Hey, I got to talk to you. Let's go in my office right after the service. Let's do it." You know, as quick as I can. And to be accountable, that people have a right to ask you things. They see what you're doing, and they can say, "Hey, you know, how's it going?" And you ought to tell them the truth. Yes. Strength and shepherd. He knew I was going to get there. First of all, be strong in the Lord. That was part of what this passage. If you stay in the Word will strengthen you. Be strong in the Lord. Rely on His strength. You know, don't forget where we are weak, that's where He is strong. You do not have to be strong in every area. The Lord will be strong through you. You'll be strong where you need to be. His strength, not yours. Because you know what? Our strength as people, it fails. Lord's strength never fails. Make sure you're resting in His strength. Where we are weak, that's where He is strong. You are the leader and protector of the flock, the shepherd. What is shepherd leads? Shepherd protects. But in doing so, you are also serving them. You are serving them. When someone has need of my time, I take time and I serve them in that area. You're serving. You are a servant leader. T. Truth and transparency. Don also mentioned that. Preach the truth. Don't waver from the truth. Don't make it harder than it is. Don't make it softer than it is. It is the truth. Remember, you are an imperfect person preaching a perfect word. You know, that's the problem with being a pastor. Many times you have to get up and preach a passage, and you have not got this thing conquered in any way, shape, or form. You know, you're struggling probably worse than half the people there. We all got our weaknesses. Yet we have a unique calling that even if I am failing in this thing, I have to preach the truth. And so sometimes you're just preaching to yourself. But preach the truth. Don't make it harder. Don't make it softer. Don't be afraid to preach the truth in areas that you struggle. Because if you are transparent before your people, they will receive that truth and give you grace. They will give you grace. You know, a lot of people come to me afterwards. They say, "Wow, what we like about you is you share your own personal experiences." So it's just my nature. It's the way I give illustrations. And so, but it is also a part of being transparent that, hey, I got issues too. And people like that. They like to say, not that you have struggles, but they like to know, hey, you're just a normal person. You're just real. You're just being real. And you know, when someone just admits they have a fault, people come alongside and they give you grace. They give you support. They encourage you. Nothing wrong with that. So be truth. Preach the truth, but be transparent. Oh, obedience. Remember to be obedient to the call that God has on your life. And that's for all of us, folks. You know, God has a calling for all of us. And we need to be about being obedient to that call. You are a pastor that has a God-given job that supplies your needs. I'm talking to you specifically because I know you go down the hill and you work. And God gave you that job. And I know when I was working, and I was in ministry and I was still working, I looked at my job as, this is God's way of supplying my needs so I can do my real job. And that's the way you got to look at it. And in the meantime, whenever it's time for maybe God, maybe in the future it's God's will for you, whatever it may be, it may not be. You may work the whole time, but it may be God's will that at some point you're able to quit your job and do the real job, more time to do it. That may be. But be obedient to the call that God has on your life. And let God supply your needs. Just as we need training and continual learning to do our secular job, we also have to be studying and learning to do God's call, whatever that may be. Be obedient to that. Lastly, R, righteousness and respect. Above all, you must have integrity. You must be careful to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Hey, if you can't do it, just say you can't do it. That way you don't let someone down. And they know you mean what you say. And if you can do it and you say you're going to do it, you better do it. If you're going to make a mistake, err on the side of righteousness. Sometimes people kind of push the envelope a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, here's the line. Let's see how close to the line we can get. I submit to you, stay away from the line. Get on God's side, far from the line. That way you're safe. Sometimes you may be criticized for doing the right thing. But remember this, it is more important to be right before God, to be right in God's eyes than in the eyes of those that see you. When you always strive to do what is right, you will earn the respect of others. Righteousness and respect go hand in hand. The qualifications for a pastor and the things that I've talked about this morning are not just for Ramon or Don or myself, but they're really qualities that should be in all of us. We should be about the word. We should be truthful. We should be transparent. You know, we should be people of integrity. We should have accountability in our life. We should have priorities in our life. We have a mandate to do these things. And always remember, Jesus gave his life for us, for you, for me, for us. We should give our life for him. As I mentioned, I think Friday night when I spoke, the only thing you can give the Lord, really, the only thing you can really give him is your will. He already owns it all. I mean, you know, you gave money. Great. That was his anyway. He enabled you to earn it in some way, shape, or form. But he gave us a will. And we can make choices. And it's really the only thing we can really give God is our will. Let him have control. As a pastor, especially important that God is in control. Because it's not just about you. It's about a group of people that are relying on you to be walking in step with God. We're going to have an invitation now. You may say, what kind of invitation is this? Well, maybe I touched a chord in your life. Maybe you're not as transparent as you should be. Maybe you're not as available as you should be. Maybe you know God has a call on your life and you've not been obedient to that call. Because, you know, calls just aren't for pastors. They're for all his children. There may be someone here that you may have not answered God's first call, and that is to call to be one of his children. There could be someone in this room today that you have never asked God to forgive you. You've never admitted to God that you have sinned, that you have done wrong, and that you deserve punishment for that. You've never trusted in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. You've never allowed his victorious resurrection and placed your faith in that and allow God to save you. You've never asked him. You need to answer that call before you can answer any other. And there may be someone here today that you need to do that. That you're not a child of the king. You're just going through this life and maybe you're a good person and all that, but the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Not one. That includes you. And if you have never made peace with the living God through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's your first call that you need to answer. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. For the rest of us, how are your priorities? How's your calling going? Are you serving? Are you obedient? Are you in the Word? We can have every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Is there anybody in this room that would slip their hands up and say, Brother Mike, I have never made peace with the Lord. I've never admitted I'm a sinner. I've never asked him to forgive me. Is there anybody like that? I just want to, if you slip your hand up, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that you'll move on that unction of the Holy Spirit working in you. Is there anybody like that? I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I've kind of got my priorities out of whack a little bit, and I need some prayer about that. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. How many would say, Brother Mike, I need a little accountability in my life because I got some things going on I've been trying to beat forever and it's not happening and I need some accountability and I've never taken that step. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, I've been trying to do a lot of things in my own strength and I really need to start relying on God. I need him to be my strength. And I've been trying to do it my way, and it's just wearing me out. And I need to kind of look at this thing a little differently and allow God to work through me in a situation in my life. Anybody like that? I need to let God have reign in my life in some areas. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, I need to be in the truth more? Truth is important. It's being skewed today, but truth is important to us, and we need more truth. Anybody like that? I just need to be in the truth more. Amen. Amen. How many would say, I need to be obedient? God has called me. I know there's a calling on my life in some way, and I need to be obedient to the call. I've been kind of putting it off. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, I need to start letting my yes be yes and my no be no, and not apologizing for that? Anybody like that? Just amen. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, there's a lot of things went on here today. Father God, I pray you'd meet each person right where they're at, minister to their heart, Lord, and give them courage and faith that they would step forward however you're calling them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, while Kathy plays, this is for you. This is your time. You deal with God. If you need to come forward, you come forward right now. This is your time. You deal with God. And don't waste this moment. Certificate of ordination. I just want to read it. It says, this certifies that Ramon Guadamuz has shown himself faithful, consistent, and sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and to the needs of others. The pastor and leadership of High Desert Baptist Church have recognized God's working through Ramon to build his kingdom. We further recognize that God has already ordained Ramon through service to him. Therefore, we of High Desert Baptist Church of Phelan, California, do concur and hereby ordain Ramon Guadamuz to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ on the 28th of October, 2018. We, the Ordination Council, having given careful examination as to the moral character, soundness of doctrine, and leadership qualification of Ramon Guadamuz for the work of the ministry, do hereby award this certificate, and it's signed by all that were on the ordination council.
And then, to help you in the ministry, your flock wanted to get you something, and I think they want to see you open.
Okay.
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
That's just an accessory. So he's been doing some studies, and he was having a hard time with his computer or whatever, so they chose to get you this MacBook Air. Supposedly, it's like loaded. It's got all the stuff. So I think Moses and Diana can tell you more about it when you get there. You're welcome. Would you like to say something?
I'd like to say thanks to everyone, but first, thanks for the Lord. Everything be for him. And I'd like to ask Brother Moses, his come, please. I need translation. It's okay. We have some Spanish, like you already know, and I'd like to make clear for there too, hermano. Doy gracias a Dios, primeramente, por cada uno de ustedes. Veo muchas caras, algunas conocidas, otras no.
I'd like to give thanks to the Lord for all of you. I see some faces I recognize, some I don't.
Quiero compartir un pequeño testimonio.
You want to share a small testimony?
Bien saben, no soy nacido en este país. Emigré para este país.
So I was not born here. I immigrated to this country.
Cuando llegué a este país, una de mis metas era hasta varios años.
When he arrived here, one of his first goal was many years ago.
Ser dueño de una empresa de transporte.
He wanted to own a transportation business.
con mis hijos, aún estaban chicos y ya pensaba hacer eso.
Even when his children were small, that's what he wanted to do.
Ese era mi plan, ese era mi sueño.
That was his plan, that was his dream.
Pero Dios cambió todo lo que yo tenía en mi mente, cambió mi vida.
Says, but the Lord changed what was in his mind, he changed his life.
Nunca estuvo en mi corazón el ser pastor.
He never had in his heart to be a pastor.
Hasta que Dios pone amor en tu vida, en tu corazón. Pero antes de eso, cuando Dios viene y transforma tu vida totalmente.
Says that when God came into his heart, that he transformed his life completely.
Y cambió mis planes.
He changed his plans.
Puso sus planes en mi corazón.
So he put his plans in his heart.
La iglesia de hoy, quizás estamos pasando tiempos difíciles.
Says in today's church that we're experimenting difficult times.
Muchos jóvenes, hay muchos niños, crecen en la iglesia y después se van, ya no están en la iglesia.
Says a lot of children grow up in the church. And then when they grow up, they leave and they're not in the church anymore.
Y son esperanza de la iglesia mañana, que ellos continúen el legado, la obra de Cristo.
Their hope is that they will continue in the church and continue the work of the Lord.
Pero fue el Señor quien advirtió que en los últimos tiempos la ciencia aumentaría y el amor de muchos se enfriaría.
See, by the word of God teaches us that times will change and the science will increase and things will be different then.
Y el amor de muchos se enfriaría.
And the love of many will get cold.
Y lo estamos viendo.
We're seeing that now.
Yo me pregunto, como iglesia, ¿estamos fallando? Los líderes que estamos, lo que estamos trabajando para el Señor, me he preguntado, ¿qué mal estamos haciendo como ministro?
See, I ask myself, what are we doing wrong? Why, where are we failing on? Are we failing the Lord? Are we doing the right thing for the Lord?
Pero estamos enfrentando esos tiempos que el Señor nos advirtió.
We're experiencing the times that the Lord, He already told us in His Word.
Yo quiero avisarles a cada padre. Yo tengo hijos. Sé que muchos tienen hijos. Yo tengo nietos. Y yo le hablo a mis hijos que tienen nietos.
So I want to tell the fathers, I have grandsons, I have sons.
Este mundo no va a mejorar. Está cada día peor. Leyes en contra de Dios, apoyando el aborto, la homosexualidad, el lesbianismo. Este es el mundo que nos es tocado.
This is a time that we're living on. It says all kinds of laws are against the Lord. It's a lot of corruption in the world. But this is a time the Lord has put us on this time, on the time of the Lord.
Y porque el amor de muchos se ha enfriado muchas veces nosotros como padre.
Because love of many have gotten cold. It says we are like fathers.
Creemos tener tiempo para que nuestros hijos se diviertan, los llevamos a otros lugares.
We think that we should have time to take our children to have fun in different manners.
Y no tenemos tiempo para adorar y para escudriñar las escrituras, para adorar a Dios.
But we don't have time to search the scriptures and worship the Lord the way we should.
Y todos decimos, creemos en Dios, sabemos que hay un Dios.
And we all say we believe in the Lord. There, we know there is a God.
Y es verdad, hay un Dios todopoderoso que nos ama.
It's a Lord that we do have a Lord that is almighty and He loves us.
pero estamos fallando porque queremos que nuestros hijos, si no hay nada de malo, que sean médicos, que sean maestros, que sean abogados.
Are we failing because we want our children to succeed, to become doctors or become lawyers?
Y no es nada malo.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Pero sí, lo malo es que nos estamos olvidando de las instrucciones, de los mandamientos y los preceptos del Creador del universo, del que gobierna los cielos y la tierra.
What's wrong is that we're forgetting the word of God, the precepts of the Lord that controls the earth and everything that's created.
Amigos, hermanas, hermanos, familia.
So brothers, sisters, and our families.
And friends.
And friends. Amigos. Get it all backwards.
Es necesario, hermanos. Todo eventualmente vamos a morir. Todo. No hay uno que no vaya a morir.
Well, eventually we're all going to die, and there's no one that will not die.
Pero hay vida en Cristo Jesús.
There's life in the Lord Jesus.
Pero todo aquel que rehúsa, dice capítulo 3:10 de Juan.
But those who reject, in John 3:10,
Dios ama tanto a cada mujer, a cada hombre, a cada niño, que Él dio a su Hijo unigénito para que todo sea salvo. Todo, no hay salvación fuera de Jesucristo.
So God loves everyone. There's no salvation without Christ. He gave His life for us.
Pero hermanos, no estamos interesados, amigos. Lo que tenemos hoy, el mejor carro, la mejor casa, los mejores vestidos, aquí quedarán. Pero estamos haciendo tesoro en el cielo.
Everything that we have here, we have gained in this world, houses and all material things. They all is going to stay here. But are we putting our treasures up in heaven?
Y el Señor le dice a usted y me dice acá a mí que hagamos tesoro en el cielo.
The Lord tells you and me, He says that we should put our treasures up in heaven.
Pero es necesario primero creer en Él, convertirnos a Él y obedecerle a Él.
But it's more important to believe in Him, and to obey Him.
Yo les surjo, hermanos, como un consejo, amigos, hermanas, de nada me sirve. Yo tenía mi Biblia acá. Ayer yo hablaba con el hermano Brett.
He said he was looking for his Bible. He says he was talking yesterday with Brother Brett.
De nada le sirve a usted como mujer, a usted como hombre, conocer las Escrituras.
It doesn't do any good if we know the Scripture.
Satanás las conoce, y en el capítulo 4 de Mateo hace mención de eso cuando viene a querer tentar a nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
He says Satan knows the word too. And when he tempted Jesus,
Matthew 4,
and Mateo 4.
Hermanos, es necesario obedecer la palabra de Dios.
It's necessary to obey the word of the Lord.
De nada sirve tener el conocimiento si no tenemos la obediencia.
It doesn't matter if we have the knowledge, if we do not obey.
Porque cuando obedecemos, hay hombres que Dios menciona. Menciona a Daniel, menciona a Noé, y menciona a otras personas. Se las voy a dejar de tarea.
He says that... Say that again.
Cuando amamos a Dios, Dios menciona tres personas que son amados: Noé, Daniel
y Job.
estos hombres.
Okay. It says the Lord mentions three persons. It says mentioned Daniel, Job, and Noah. Yeah.
Estos hombres son especiales a los ojos de Dios porque obedecieron a Dios.
These are special men because they obeyed the Lord.
Y vivieron justo ante Dios.
¿Vieron qué?
Vivieron justos.
They lived justly before the Lord. I can't hear out of this ear.
Hermanos, yo con esto termino. Yo los invito a que obedezcamos y amemos la palabra de Dios.
Says he finished with this. He says he invites us to obey the Lord and also to follow the Lord.
Yo no soy nada, solamente un servidor, y espero que cada uno de nosotros tengamos el gozo de ser servidoras y servidores de nuestro Señor.
Yes, I'm only a servant, and hope every one of us become a servant of the Lord.
El Señor les bendiga, y gracias a cada uno de los hermanos presentes, las hermanas, los amigos, gracias a los pastores, a todo el equipo que hizo posible para gloria y honra del Señor este culto aquí afuera.
He gives thanks to the pastors, to every one of us here gathered in this place, and God will bless all of you. That's his wishes.
God bless you, manos. Thank you. Thank you.
Brother Ramon, I hope you were blessed, and we are blessed by you and what you are doing as well. And so, looking forward to what God has for us both as we go forward for Him. What I'm going to do now is just pray and bless the food and dismiss. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you thankful for the calling that you have on each one of us, Lord. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Faithful servants of yours, that one day you would say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And now, Lord, as we go, we ask you to bless the food, bless the hands that prepared it, Lord God, bless the Spanish ministry, bless our ministry here on this side. Father God, be with Ramon and Lorena as they go forward. Father, thank you for all that you're doing here in this church. Thank you for the week we've had here. And now, Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.